head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Here we are back again in the Louisville.am studios for another wonderful episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I am your host, Rick Redding, and I am here to bring you interviews with some of the most interesting people in the Ville. That's our promise every week here at the Rusty Satellite Show. I've been talking to the show about talking to a lot of different people about the show lately, and you know, really have been getting some good guests. So I'm very excited about what's going on in my life and in the life of the Rusty Satellite Show. You are going to want to stay tuned for these interviews. If you are a horse racing fan at all, or even if you're not, if you're a fan of festivals and parties, you're going to hear about what's coming to Louisville in November. The first weekend in November, it's the Breeders' Cup Festival. And it's not just 2 days of racing. I have Megan Devine, who is a on-air personality with TVG, the horse racing cable channel, and Tara Gunther Hemp, who is familiar to a lot of people in Louisville because she was involved in the in golf in the PGA events that have been held here in the last couple of decades, I guess. And they are involved heavily in the Breeders' Cup Festival. They've got all the news and all the stuff you need to know about the Breeders' Cup in our interview. So stay tuned for that. It's they're our Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by Louisville Tourism. All right, and you're going to like my first guest. It's something I'm really passionate about is political season. It's the politics are here. There is an election coming up in November that is one of the most important elections of our time, and it's the midterm elections, November 6th. I'll get into more about Rocky Adkins in just a moment. First of all, I want to thank my sponsors. Passport Health Plan has been with me from the very beginning, and they have me doing some interesting work around town. I actually did two interviews for Passport today. One was with McDaniel Blewett, who runs the West Louisville Boys Choir, West Louisville Performing Arts Academy. It is a heartwarming story. I'm going to write about that. That'll be coming up on passportwellbeing.com in a few months, maybe weeks, possibly. And also talk to my good friends out at Park Community Credit Union, about a program they have that is benefiting homeowners. They're trying to create wealth in West Louisville, and that's a good thing. It's very interesting. So passportwellbeing.com, you can see all the stories I've done. There's over 50 of them posted there right now. All right. Then also want to mention Heiser Health. I'm going to see Peggy Heiser tomorrow, I think it is, to get a checkup and see how my blood is doing. I'm a little worried. I've fallen off the diet just a little bit. My weight is holding steady at a stellar 191. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the changes in diet are doing to my A1C levels. So, if you're interested in really knowing the ins and outs of your health and getting in better shape, and both physically through exercise classes and through changes in your diet, give them a call over at Heiser Health. The studio I work out in is at the Melwood Arts Center. And, of course, also I recently got LASIK surgery at the Eye Care Institute. You can call them at 502-589-1500. Any issues you have with your eyes, or if you're even considering LASIK, that's the place to go to see if you're eligible. It's a good thing that they make the process very smooth and easy, and I am seeing better than I ever have. All thanks to the Eye Care Institute. So thanks to them as well. All right, Rocky Adkins. I really enjoyed getting to know him. He was here for a benefit at the Morton Center, which is an organization that deals with people who have dependency problems, addiction problems, and as a guest of that event. And I didn't know much about Rocky. He's from Sandy Hook. He's an Eastern Kentucky guy. I found out he played basketball against Western Kentucky when I was there. He played the same years I was in college at Morehead State. And now I looked it up, and Rocky wasn't like a superstar. He didn't start for the Eagles, but he did play, and he shares in this interview some memories of our time. But more importantly, Rocky may be our next governor, and wouldn't that be an improvement over Matt Bevin? Ugh, So anyway, I got to get some, you know, Rocky impresses me as a politician. He's not afraid to say what he thinks. And, you know, he's been critical of Andy Beshear for being out raising money for his governor's race campaign at a time when Rocky thinks he should be working on the midterms, working on helping Democrats reverse a 63-37 deficit in the state house. And that's something that could be could change. You hear about this story nationally, the blue wave of Democrat victories in the midterms that are expected. And that's certainly true in the Kentucky politics as well. So I got to sit down and talk with Rocky about some politics and what was going on there, and was certainly glad to have him in town. He certainly persuaded me. I'm certainly now on his side, and I hope he does run for governor, because we don't need another Beshear in there, do we? That sort of I wasn't a fan of Steve Beshear's, and I don't think he got a lot accomplished with what he did. And he got in there because he lied to the people saying that he could get the get gambling passed. That's what happened. That's how he got elected. Because I know I was working on a rival campaign, so it sort of didn't work out. Beshear was just, in my view, not a great governor. Of course, Bevin is worse, and we got to do what we have to do to get Bevin out of there at the next election. But the governor's race isn't for 2 years. Right now, the race to focus on is the midterms, and that's what I sat down and talked with Rocky Adams, the minority leader in the Kentucky State House.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and our Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
All right, and welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. I am with a guy, I'm glad, I love your name, Rocky Adkins is with us. Rocky and Rusty Show. Here we are right here. Rocky, you are in government, in politics, and the minority leader in the state house. And that's a big job. And this is a very important time, right?
Well, there's no question about it, Rick. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. And yes, it is a very important time. November the 6th now is 49 days away, and there's no question that there's very competitive elections going on across Kentucky. And serving as a Democratic leader of the House has some tremendous responsibilities all the way from Pikeville to Paducah. We have fielded just some outstanding candidates across the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and I'm working hard to try to make sure we keep the energy, and we're working hard to try to take back the Kentucky House.
Well, you hear about that nationally, and you hear about Democrats, this blue wave, but we have a big mountain to climb. The deficit on House seats for Democrats is 63-27.
37.
63-37. So that's turning a bunch of them around. But you believe that's realistic?
Well, if you look back to 2016, you'll see a lot of our strong Democratic candidates lost, and they lost because of what was called the Trump wave. Mm-hmm. Trump ran really well in Kentucky, and we lost some seats that we never thought we would lose. Matter of fact, some members that lost that were strong incumbents, some of them are rerunning this time. We lost some really heavy Democratic districts that we believe we have a good shot at winning back this time. We concentrated a lot of our efforts, a lot of my efforts, on recruiting quality candidates to run in these legislative seats across Kentucky. And the climate is completely different today than it was in 2016. I have never seen energy across Kentucky the way I see it now in my entire political career, Rick. There's crowds showing up in a way that I've never seen. There's new faces that are showing up that have never been in the political game. People are mad. They're off the sideline. They're getting in the game. When you look at public employees, when you look at the education community and the attack on public education, you look at working families and the attack on working families across Kentucky, there's an energy out there that I have never seen. And I believe that energy, without question, is on our side. So for the first time in a long time, I feel like I got a little wind at my back instead of a hurricane at my face.
Well, good. I know that you know, it seems like Governor Bevin has done his best to tick off these big factions of people. And you were telling me that polling indicates that his popularity is down some, a lot more so than President Trump's is in Kentucky.
Well, there's no question. I've been looking at the polling that you probably looked at as well in the newspaper, and it shows that, you know, Trump's polling in different parts of the state is still somewhat high, but that Governor Bevin across the state is somewhere in the high 20s. And I think there's a reason for that. I think Governor Bevin, as you said, has ticked off, has energized really a sleeping giant, and he has woke up a sleeping giant, and I would call that the education community. I would call that organized labor, working families across Kentucky. And it's not only been because of policy decisions, everything from charter schools to policies that would impact working families by lowering wages, whether it be right to work or whether it be the repeal of prevailing wage. But also, I think when you look at this public pension issue that he proposed to basically do away with the defined benefit and take away something that's been promised to our teachers and our public employees. But not only that, the disrespect that has been shown by him, the name-calling of calling people thugs like school teachers and ignorant and all of that.
Don't disagree with him or you'll be called a name, right?
Well, you know, I've probably already been called a name, to be very honest. I happen to be that Democratic leader that is going to continue to be the loyal opposition when I think he is wrong on policy. When I think he's wrong on policy, I'm going to challenge him. And I've been very vocal with that, and I've been out front with that. I'm going to stand up for what I believe is best for Kentucky, and I happen to believe that public education is important in Kentucky. And I happen to believe that when people work a hard day, that they ought to be paid a good wage. And when you're paid a good wage, you know, we're able to have a strong economy in Kentucky. But, you know, the energy has really been created without question, not only about the bad policy, a disrespect for the process, but also a disrespect for individuals across Kentucky with the name calling that the governor has been pretty consistent with. And I think that has created this energy across Kentucky that has made me very optimistic that come November the 6th, people are going to go to the polls. And there are going to be sometimes some of these folks that are going to be first-time voters that have never been involved in the process that are going to go to the polls, they're showing up at these events. We had an event in Jessamine County the other night, a rally, and the question was asked, how many of you in this crowd? And there was 500 people there. Is this your first rally politically you've ever been to? And Rick, 50% of the hands went up.
Wow.
So I can tell you the people that are motivated out there to go vote in November, I believe are those folks that are more motivated to vote for us this time than to vote for the other side.
Well, good. Well, let's hope so. Let's talk real briefly about some of the Jefferson County races. You know, the show is about Louisville and Jefferson County. Now some of the candidates for House races are new.
Yes.
They don't have a lot of name recognition, but tell me about some of those.
Well, we are competing strongly in Jefferson County, and we have some outstanding candidates. Of course, we have several of our incumbents that we feel very good about that are going to be returning, but we've also got, you know, some new members, if you said, new candidates out there, and they're working extremely hard, and we are very optimistic because of their hard work, because of the energy we see in Jefferson County, because of the congressional race here that we believe will help bring out some vote, that will help also with the mayor's race that will bring out some vote as well. But when you look at some of the races like a Josie Raymond, or you look at Rob Walker, or you look at Ronnell Brown or Tina Bojanowski, or you know, people like Lisa Wellner, we believe, and there's others, I just mentioned a few, but we believe that those are races, not only are we going to maintain some of those seats that are already held by Democrats, but we believe we've got an opportunity to pick up seats here as well. And we believe because of that energy that is out there, because of that that excitement that we see on the ground and in the trenches, that that energy continues to build. And when you got these candidates knocking on doors and working really hard and helping energize that excitement themselves, and then when you see these blocks of votes and these people on the sideline that haven't been involved in the game before that are now, that are raising their hand, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play, I'm very optimistic that as this energy continues to build and as our candidates continue to work hard. You know, Rick, we spend a lot of time, not only have I talked about momentum and energy on the ground, but we spent a lot of time recruiting the best and the brightest to be our candidates.
Okay.
Quality candidates that people can get excited about. You know, being a former athlete, I played my college basketball at Morehead State. You know, to win basketball games and what makes great coaches or great players? Well, the way you win political contests, the way you win political races is you win with great talent, and you win with great candidates. And we believe we have that to go with the energy. And there's a lot of energy on the ground of people working really hard for these candidates as well. So we feel good about Jefferson County. Not only do we feel good about maintaining the seats we already have, we feel good about picking up some seats as we move forward.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you about the money. Is this going to go down as these House races, which I haven't heard a lot about yet, in terms of the airwaves and money spent on commercials? Is that going to pick up? You think?
Well, I don't think there's any question. Some of the money you will see on airwaves, but some of the money you won't see. It'll be in direct mail pieces. It'll be in phone banks. It'll be knocking doors with organizations of people out into these communities, helping get the vote out. It'll be a GOTV of coming down to the last couple of weeks of the election, getting the vote to the polls.
Okay.
And as I said, that energy that's there and those volunteers that are stepping forward across Kentucky, these crowds that are gathering, I'm seeing an energy that I like, and I'm seeing a movement that I like across Kentucky that really could present some really good things on the night of November the 6th.
Well, very good. Well, certainly there's going to be life after that. There's been a lot of talk in the media about you and your potential run for governor. There's already Andy Beshear's already announced his candidacy. There's some other candidates around, and just wanted to find out. I mean, you believe? I don't think you haven't officially announced,
no.
But you've made no secret of your interest in the governor's chair.
Rick, as the Democratic leader of the House, my full focus is on November the 6th. I have a responsibility, and I think the most important election is the next election. November the 6th, us trying our best to take back the Kentucky House and bring some balance back to government. So that's where my full focus is as we move in to this election over the next 49 days. But I will tell you this, that I'm getting tremendous encouragement to get in this governor's race. I'm being encouraged all across the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and I don't think it's any secret that I'm giving it very, very serious consideration. But when November 6th comes, I'll have a different message and I'll have a different vision, and we will talk about that then. But to tell you here today, there's no question. I've not made any official announcements. I don't think it's time to make an announcement. I think it's wrong to be out there raising money for a race next year rather than concentrating on raising money for candidates that we have in this year's race. And I've been very public about that.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong for Steve Beshear to be calling all across the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and I think it's wrong for Andy Beshear to be holding fundraisers when we're trying our best to win races going into November the 6th. So to be raising money for a race next year instead of concentrating on one of the most important elections that we've been in some time, and that's trying to win back the Kentucky House. But every congressional candidate, every state legislative candidate, every local candidate really ought to be upset about somebody raising money for next year instead of concentrating on these races this year.
All right. Well, good point. Well taken. We've got a lot of interesting races around here. Just real quick, in the few minutes we have left, I'm going to ask you about your background. You told me you got elected to the House when you were 26 years old.
I did.
And you're over 30 now.
Yeah, I came to Frankfort. I come from a rural district in northeastern part of Kentucky. I am from Elliott County, Sandy Hook. I went to school at Morehead State University, which is a part of my legislative district now. I played my college basketball at Morehead State University and played my last game in 1983 against Jim Boeheim and the Syracuse Orangemen in Hartford, Connecticut in the NCAA tournament. So it was a good way to go out. I got 2 degrees from Morehead State. My master's degree is in secondary education. I'm a former teacher. My dad taught for 50 years, 39 years in the classroom. And so I went back home, and I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to be involved in public service. I wanted my region to have the same hope and opportunity as other regions and other places across the world and around the world. So I ran for office at an early age, and I'm proud of my public service, and I think it's helped me season to have the experience and the leadership ability. You know, I was the point guard at Morehead State University.
Okay.
That's the only position I've ever played my entire career. And it's the point guard's responsibility to make everybody else better. And that's what I've tried to do in my political career of public service. It's when I get up in the morning, Rick, I don't see me, I see we. And that's been my whole mission while I've been in public service, is to try to make my community a better place, to try to make the people that are a part of my community better people. And you can do a lot of good things through public service. But what I'm hearing as I travel Kentucky and people encourage me to run for government, they say, Rocky, we appreciate that you're approachable. You're somebody that we can connect with. And we like the fact that you have the experience and you have the leadership ability to lead Kentucky to a better place. So that's the reason that we're getting the interest of after November the 6th. But right now, my full focus is on November the 6th and helping our Democratic candidates take back the Kentucky House and bring back balance to government in Frankfort, Kentucky.
All right. Well, you have to come back on the Rusty Satellite Show when you make it big as governor and all that. I was curious. I was at Western when you were at Moorhead.
Yes, sir.
I went to every single basketball game Western played there. You do any good against the Hilltoppers?
I played in Diddle Arena many times, and it was always a tough trip. You know, part of my career at Moorhead State, Western was in the OVC.
Right.
And I'll tell you this story. I was getting ready to sign to go to Western to play my college basketball. And Wayne Martin got the job at Moorhead State University. And my dad, being a longtime coach and a longtime teacher, Wayne Martin called and said, have you signed that letter with Western yet? And I said, no, sir, I've not. He said, I'd like to come and talk to you. And he did. And after he left, my dad looked at me and said, it's 28 miles from this kitchen table to the front steps of the arena at Moorhead State University. I want to watch you play. So I'm happy with the decision. But I tell you, I loved Western. It was a beautiful, beautiful campus. It was a place that, without question, I still have fond memories of, and I'm in Bowling Green quite often.
Yeah.
But Diddle Arena was a tough place to play, Rick. We didn't get very many victories. It was a tough place to play.
I know it was. Was that Gene Cady recruited you or
no,
Clem?
It was actually Coach Richards.
Okay.
And Coach Richards actually went in to retired as I was getting ready to come out of high school.
Okay.
So it was actually Bobby Rasko and Clem Haskins that done the recruiting of me, and they watched me play most of my games of my senior year, to be very honest. So I've been down to see Big Red many times, and I still step into Diddle Arena, and I kind of get chill bumps, but
yeah.
I tell you, you usually had bumps on your head when you came out of there. It was a tough place to play.
All right. Well, many thanks, Rocky Adkins, for coming into the Rusty Satellite Show, and good luck out there. I do want to mention real quick, we're going to a luncheon later on today for
yes, sir.
The Merton Center, and it's a fine charity, and people want to know about that organization, certainly should look it up online.
I look forward to it. It's going to be a tremendous lunch, and that place is just doing tremendous work, and it's an issue that must be addressed, and to have facilities like this to do this kind of work is critical.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And that was a pretty cool interview with Rocky Adkins. He was here for a benefit for the Morton Center that I also attended with him. And it was a great event. They do great work over there. Thanks to Delene for setting me up. She was at the Breakfast of Champions with me this week. We heard from Dr. Neely Bendapudi, and that was cool. You know, some of these things I do, I just am amazed. Sometimes I'm amazed myself. I get to do so many cool things every week. But one of the people at my table, believe it or not, at the Morton Center event was Chief Conrad, the police chief here. And I wish I had known about it at the time. I would have asked him, did you hear about this story about Reverend Kevin Cosby, a former guest on this show? There couldn't be a more model citizen in this city than Reverend Kevin Cosby. Apparently, he was driving home the other night and got pulled over by a cop. And I saw the video. Cosby was smart enough when this happened to start rolling a video on his cell phone, and that video has gone sort of viral. This cop, who is white, and it should be said, and Cosby, who's black, was with his wife, and they pulled him over in his Audi, a very nice car, And the cop said, why'd you pull me over? I wasn't doing anything. I was basically, and the cop says, he makes up the story. I saw you making a left turn illegal left turn or something like that. And then he said, and then you got this thing on your license plate that's illegal too, which is bogus. I think both of those things are bogus. And this cop just... we talk about and you hear about people getting pulled over for driving while black. You know, the statistics are out there, even in Louisville. Conrad has acknowledged in the media this week that, blacks are much more likely to be pulled over by the police for no reason, like twice as likely. And it's a real problem. And so he happens. So this cop, he probably did 10 other stops like that night of people who are just driving around and not doing anything wrong, and the cop just decides to pull him over, see what's up. That's not right, and there's been a lot of flack about it. There was a press conference this week about that, and a lot of people in the African-American community are upset about it, and they should be. As well, they should be. All right, so on a lighter note, Business First has this 40 under 40 thing every year, and it's a good program. They have an event with it and all that, and it's a big honor if you're under 40 to get honored by Business First as a member of the 40 under 40. I always go through it to see who has been on this show that's in that list. And this time, only one of the 40 has been on the show, but one of my favorite guests we ever had, John Good, who is the Spuds potato chip guy. John, if you remember, had did very well in the raising business. He was Bob Baffert's top guy, and he got out of that, and he started a potato chip business, and it's going. I see him at events all the time, and so very happy for John Good getting that that great honor from Business First. That's cool. Other stuff in going on in town. You may have seen the story about Huber's over in Starlight, Indiana, is being sold. The kids, the remaining kids in the family, there's four of them, decided they didn't want to run the restaurant anymore. They didn't want to run the farm anymore. They don't want to do all that. They wanted to retire. And so the property that's been in the family since 1926 is on the auction block. There's no telling who will buy it, if it'll still be a restaurant. It is now the Huber Winery and Orchard. That's a separate property, and is not affected by this sale. But it's big news. A lot of people go over there, to get pumpkins or whatever. I've done it a few times, and sort of a sad thing to know that might be going away. But I tell you, there was something I wanted to talk about that happened with Greater Louisville Inc. this week. They do these glide trips, and I went on one back, 1998, I think, to Austin, Texas. And it's where a bunch of leaders from the city go to another city that's doing very well and try to get ideas on how to improve things around here in Louisville. And so they went to Denver, and I just went to Denver, not with this trip, on a separate trip to see my son who lives out there. And it strikes me that the politicians in Kentucky are so blind to this thing. And our governor, he's the worst of them. Now, the governor a while back put out some story about how awful and detrimental the legalization of marijuana has been to Colorado. I call bullshit. One of the biggest problem they have in Colorado is figuring out how to spend all this tax money that they're bringing in from the pot. In the release from Greater Louisville Inc., it mentions that how they're using tax revenue from the legalization of recreational marijuana to fund public safety and boost affordable housing construction. Now, those are positive things. And don't believe what Bevin says. There are no increases in crime and awful things. I tell you, I went out there. I went to Denver and asked Josh to take me to one of the stores. And the stores are like, they're almost like fast food restaurants. They're very nice. They're very clean. You go in, and you have to give them your license. You have to give them an ID, and you sit in a waiting room, and then they call you in, and there's a person that waits on you one-on-one. It's not like you're shopping and looking at things on the shelf. You walk in, and the guy says, hey, what are you interested in? And they've got all these varieties of stuff. We actually, I was interested in edibles, so we actually bought, all we bought was a candy bar out there. But imagine, I think the thing I read said 5.5% tax. Millions of dollars coming into Colorado. They're able to spend this excess money, the money that wasn't expected, on things like increasing the affordable housing, the amount of affordable housing in Denver. They're spending it on public safety. And what are we doing here? We're trying to take pensions away from teachers. We're trying to take things away from people because we refuse to raise money to find new revenue from marijuana or from gambling. The new Churchill Downs gaming facility opened on Poplar Level Road this week. And that's okay, but it's not going to be anything like the success of a real casino. I've talked to some people who've been out there. I mean, it's a nice try. Churchill Downs is trying to win despite the laws set by our state government, led by Bevin, who thinks gambling is some sort of terrible moral outrage, when in fact there is all sorts of gambling opportunities here in Kentucky. There's the lottery, there's the racetrack, there's horse racing, there's all sorts of things you can gamble on. People will find their way, but you know what? If they want to do casino gambling, they're finding their way to Indiana, because that's where you go if you want to gamble here. We've missed the boat. We have absolutely missed it. And we're missing it now on marijuana. That is what is happening in our state right now. All right, enough of that stuff. I am excited about something. You know that Bourbon and Beyond is this week. Now, on my Eat, Drink, Talk podcast, we've had some guests related to Bourbon and Beyond. We had Tiffany Dorman this week on the show, and she is in charge of all the culinary stuff that goes on. Bourbon and Beyond is about food, music, and bourbon, and that's a really cool combination. And what I like about it is, nothing derogatory here about Forecastle, but when I see the lineup of bands at Forecastle, I scratch my head and I say, well, there's usually two out of 30 or 40 that I know about or have heard of and I want to go see. Well, just going through this list, on Saturday and Sunday, on Saturday, you get John Mayer, Lenny Kravitz, David Byrne, Sheryl Crow, Brian Setzer's Rockabilly Riot, know about him. One of my favorites, Keb Moe, Mindy Hebert, and the Bone Shakers. I've been hearing them on the Blues Station on satellite radio, so I'm looking forward to seeing her. Then you go into Sunday, you got Sting, you got Robert Plant, Counting Crows, Government Mule. These are well-known bands. And then there's also a secondary stage where Ben Solee and some more local bands are playing. That's all what's going on. This is a fantastic festival. We had some of the organizers of that show on here on the Rusty Satellite Show last week, as our Bourbon City Guest of the Week, Doris Sims and Fred Minnick, were here talking, and Fred was talking about the bourbon festival that he's organized could stand on its own as its own festival, and I think the food stuff could too. And Tiffany told us how chefs and musicians are a lot alike, and they're really big admirers of each other. And that's a great listen if you want to go over to Eat, Drink, Talk and listen to that podcast. It's really great. So anyway, I'm all over the board here, but that's what we do here at the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm so happy you're tuned in. You can follow me all week on or listen to any show we've ever done at rustysatelliteshow.com, or we have a Rusty Satellite Twitter feed as well, at Rusty Satellite, and there's always some new stuff going on with the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm very excited about it. Next up is our Bourbon City Guest of the Week. I really enjoyed getting to meet Megan Devine and Tara Gunther here in the studio about a week ago. And the Breeders' Cup Festival, it's going to be bigger. If you're experienced with Breeders' Cups that have been here before, this is going to be like a step above, you know, to use the cliche, it's Breeders' Cup on steroids. There's so many events associated with it. You're bound to be able to find something that you're going to want to do related to horse racing's biggest event. And so glad it's coming here. And it's on a, you know, this won't be the only time it ever comes here, but Churchill Downs is the place, and it's going to be a very exciting time. November 2nd and 3rd are the day of the races. All that week before, there are events going on. Tara, who used to work with the PGA, is handling the festival. It's really exciting. So anyway, I got to sit down and talk to those two when they were here last week. They're our Bourbon City Guest of the Week. Listen in now.
Next up, it's the Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Get a different taste.
And welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. I am here with my Bourbon City guests, plural of the week. Very happy to be joined by them and talking about something very exciting. First up, I'm going to talk to you, Megan. Megan Devine is a University of Louisville graduate, and now works in L.A. Mm-hmm. in horse racing. You love horse racing, obviously.
I do. It's always been about the horses for me. So born and raised New York, or as we say in the horse industry, New York bred. And then
that's right. You can use all those terms. You're a Philly, right?
Exactly. I'm a Philly. Yep. I say I debuted at Turfway Park up in northern Kentucky and broke my maiden at Ellis Park in Henderson, and then spent some time here in Louisville, of course, at Churchill Downs, Keeneland, etc. And then went out to California for a Grade One event at Santa Anita. But I spent plenty of time here in Louisville. I loved my time here. I loved the University of Louisville. Their equine program was fantastic. So
I should ask. Whenever I have horse racing guests, I always ask, "What was your first derby?"
Oh, my first derby was 2011. It was Animal Kingdom, actually.
Animal Kingdom.
Yeah,
all
it was
right.
The only derby I have not worked. I've always worked the derbies after that for NBC Sports.
Okay.
So it was the only one I went to as a patron.
Wow. And you do a lot of TV work with TVG, mm-hmm. which for those out there who don't know, is a ESPN for racing, as you told me. So I'm sure you can get it on your cable system. And but you must be excited. You're going to be coming back to Louisville in October.
October, yeah.
In October
for the Breeders' Cup week. Yep, very exciting. For us, Breeders' Cup is the Olympics of horse racing. There are all sorts of different events. The Derby, you pretty much have just that one that you're going towards. But Breeders' Cup has multiple races that they are putting on, and that is different distances, different surfaces, the grass, dirt, etc. So it is very, very fun to go to and an amazing event that we look forward to all year. So I'm thrilled that it's back here in my old Kentucky home.
Yeah, exactly, because it is not. I know there's politics involved in the structure of when the Breeders' Cup is here, but it hadn't been here for a while.
Mm-hmm. It's been a little while since it's come back. Yeah, it spent a lot of time out in California at Santa Anita Park, where I make my home now,
okay.
and then came back to Keeneland. It was also at Del Mar, so we're excited to have it back here. Churchill certainly knows how to put on a good show.
That's right. It's a big, big event here, and now is it, and I know it's here this year. Have they settled on a schedule for the future?
They have, actually. Actually, so next year, 2019, will be at Santa Anita Park. Then it'll come back here to Keeneland in 2020. And then to 2021, it goes out to Del Mar where the turf meets the surf.
Oh, okay. Well, cool.
Pretty good time.
When's it going to be back here?
Churchill, they haven't decided after that.
Okay.
So they've just set the next couple
of
years.
Need to work them.
They're always in the mix.
Do some politics with those Breeders' Cup people.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm also joined by Tara Gunther. Tara, I remember you from being involved with the PGA all those years.
I did, 20 years in sports prior to going off on my own and then staying in sports, which is really something that I love and feel very fortunate to be able to do.
Yeah, well, you do all that time in sports. You don't want to go off and do a cooking thing or yeah. something like that, right?
It's all good as far as I'm concerned.
So tell me about your role in what we got to look forward to. I want to tell people why this... Because I remember other Breeders' Cups that have been here, and they didn't have all this cool stuff associated with it.
Yeah, so in 2015, when the Breeders' Cup went to Keeneland, I think Lexington was very aware that there would be so many people in the community that wanted to get involved, and Keeneland was a smaller track compared to some of the others that the Breeders' Cup World Championships goes to. So they started a festival, and of course, Breeders' Cup is headquartered there in Lexington, and they saw this festival activity go on around their event outside of the World Championships and just loved what that was for the community. So they were committed to taking the festival on the road and took it out to California and did some events, and now they're swinging back to Louisville. And of course, Louisville rolls out the purple carpet no matter, you know, what great guests we have coming to town, and we love a good celebration. So my role is working as the executive director of the Breeders' Cup Festival and helping the Breeders' Cup plan a really fun week of activities for residents and visitors alike.
Wow, very exciting. Well, let me ask Megan, EquestriCon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just learned how to pronounce that.
It's like Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
So tell me what that's all about. It's a two-day, it's for Monday and Tuesday of mm-hmm. the week. And what goes on with that?
Well, it's exciting because it kind of kicks off the Breeders' Cup Festival that Tara
Absolutely.
Alluded to. So you have that Sunday. There's a couple events that go on there. They've got a nice brunch with Fashion at the Races. But Monday is really the big kickoff. So it was the inaugural year was just just last year at Saratoga Springs. They had plenty of people come from all sorts of different countries, states, etc. And it's really for everyone. It is the Comic-Con of horse racing. So you have all sorts of amazing characters that come in. We'll have Mike Smith, the whole Justify team who won this year's Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown, will be there signing autographs. So you've got racing celebrities, and you also have opportunities for people to learn as well. You could be somebody who's very invested in the industry. You could be a casual $2 bettor, or maybe you want to get your start working in horse racing. It's really an event that's for everyone, and they have all sorts of seminars that go on, trade shows. They've got bars and lounges, so there's all sorts of events.
Yeah, it's an event coming to Louisville, so there has to be bourbon involved somehow.
Oh,
right?
Of course. Of course there will be bourbon involved. There's
just
plenty
The good side effect of coming to Louisville for EquestriCon.
So it's 2 days. It's the Monday and the Tuesday, and actually one of the days on Monday, we do have the Breeders' Cup post-position draw, so that's very important because it's when the horses get the stall that they're going to break out of for their race. So it's exciting to have that as a big event at Breeders' Cup and at EquestriCon, so you can actually get tickets for that and be a part of that where all of the connections are. It's kind of a private event, so you have the connections of each of the runners for these horses that are the best in the entire world, and you get to be up close and personal with them and be a part of the action.
Wow, sounds like fun. Now the EquestriCon, though, it's open to the public, right?
And so you buy tickets.
Mm-hmm. You buy tickets to it. Okay. And where can you get those? Terry, you probably know that.
Yeah, you can go to EquestriCon.com and purchase tickets. And they have everything from a $15 ticket, so it's very affordable to be able to go. It's at the brand new Kentucky International Convention Center downtown. There's easy parking. And to be a part of it is very inexpensive. And I think it's important for people to know it's here. So we kind of think of it as, oh, it's in our own hometown, so it must not be special. But it is so special. and we're really fortunate that it's here. So for as little as $15, you can absolutely go in and enjoy yourself. And then they also have some great ticket packages that give you an insider view with some tours of the backside and access to the paddock and some really interesting, very horse-centric opportunities. So definitely EquestriCon.com is a place to go to see our kickoff event.
I'm hoping there's like a party at night.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of parties.
There's a couple parties that this week.
There's some Breeders' Cup Festival parties for sure. And EquestriCon itself is a bit of a party with all the connections that you have. And I think that's just part of it. Last year at Saratoga, it was so exciting. There were all sorts of people there. It was a party. They had live bands that went on. It was a really, really fun event that people had gone to. So it's not just the party atmosphere and meeting all the celebrities, but you've got seminars to learn how to, you know, bet horse racing or horse ownership or learn about what happens to the thoroughbreds after they're done racing and be a part of that. So there's all sorts of different facets to it that are really cool. And here in Louisville, horse racing is part of our DNA, just like bourbon. So it's a good place for it to be.
Hand in hand.
Exactly.
Hoof and hoof.
Hoof and hoof.
Well, I wanna, one other topic I wanted to get to. Megan, you're probably the expert on this. Let's talk about the races themselves, because a lot of people hear Breeders' Cup and they don't realize like how many races there are and what horses we've heard of. I mean, everybody wonders, you know, well, is Justify going to run? And he's not, right?
He's not running.
He's
not.
But maybe some other horses that that are maybe well known who ran in the Derby last year. You know, tell me about the package of races.
So the whole year we have races that are qualifying races for the Breeders' Cup. So we've got a lead up, a road to the Breeders' Cup, if you will. So it is a little disappointing that Justify won't be running. He's already retired to stud in Lexington, where he's going to be just fine out there and enjoying his life being
making
a horse.
Too much money.
But as far as like a wage perspective is that really opens up some of these races for some of these other horses that are able to come in. So instead of having a Justify who would be your favorite and probably win, you're not going to make any money off of your bet, now you've kind of opened it up to a multitude of other runners that you may be able to score 20-1, 10-1, something like that. So it's still, the fields are still coming together. You've got these qualifying races that are still going on. In fact, there's plenty coming up at Churchill Downs on September 15th. There's going to be a lot of those and a couple at Keeneland coming up. So they're going to run through the Kentucky Road to the Breeders' Cup, but there's tons and tons of races. Even international connections come from plenty of different countries as well.
And the Breeders' Cup, for those that don't know, is how many races are there? I know the Classic is the one we all point to.
The Classic and the Distaff as well. So you have the Classic for the boys, and then the Distaff is for the girls. So those are the two feature races, but you do have a lot of races for younger horses. So there's 14 in total. And like I said, those are all sorts of different
like
distances.
Like 7 each day?
Different surfaces. Yeah, so they split it up depending on how they've structured the cards for that Friday and Saturday, but it is very exciting. I think it's more exciting than the Kentucky Derby. I love the Kentucky Derby, but they've just got that one race on Kentucky Derby
it's
Day.
It's really like
14
one race on Kentucky Derbies.
Yeah,
of,
exactly.
Right? That's what I think the beauty of the Breeders' Cup is.
If you could bottle that excitement that you get for that one race and then times it by 14, that's the Breeders' Cup.
Right.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people around here remember. I think it was in 1988, right? The first time it was here. I've got you both stumped, right?
I didn't know there was trivia on this
Megan
show.
I don't think Megan was alive in 1988.
I know it.
I could have been a babysitter.
Well, I was alive. I happened to have a job assisting a photographer, and it was that year. I'm sure you've seen pictures. Ali Sheba, if I'm not mistaken, in the near darkness, edged one in a very close race in the Classic, and it was almost dark. It was before they had lights at Churchill Downs.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that was really something. Where were you in 1988, Tara?
I was graduating high school in 1988.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Did you know there was a Breeders' Cup going on at that
time? I grew up in Maryland. I should, right? That's still horse
Maryland's
country.
Horse country,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely. But didn't have my love of, true love of horse racing or bourbon at that point.
Yeah.
It's
good
that they do have those lights now, too, because the Classics run in prime time. So it is the feature race of the day.
Yeah, and I imagine for somebody like you, it's hard to imagine that like it was supposed to be enough light, but it was a cloudy, you know, sort of dark day. And by the time they got that race off, it was really, you know, in your terms, it, like trying to get the last hole in before it gets dark.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my memory of Breeders' Cup. I know it's been here several times since, but
you'll have to make some new ones then.
I will. I'll have to come out. I'm going to now have Questacon to add to my list of
absolutely
things.
Absolutely.
You
have a whole week of things to do.
That's right. So if I got to go to, tell me just, I'm not going to ask you that question, but Tara, tell me some of the Breeders' Cup week events that, very briefly, we're running out of time, but what are the highlights?
So Questacon, of course, is kicking us off as one of our premier events. Another one of our premier events is Topgolf, and I know that has a lot of interest in our community, and whether they're coming here permanently, but this is something completely different. It's called Topgolf Crush, which is their pop-up event.
Okay.
And they're
going is the same company that does the
facilities? It's the same company. It looks the same, and they're going to set up a temporary kind of 10-day party at Cardinal Stadium.
Very cool.
And they build out over the seats, and you hit into targets out on the field anytime football's not going on.
No, that sounds like a blast. I'm in. You sold me on that one.
So
you combine
like,
golf and
game
racing.
Game day, golf, and lights, like we were just talking about.
I'm going to interrupt for an editorial comment that I don't expect you to agree or disagree with, but those idiots out in Hurstbourne who are fighting Topgolf need to shut the up.
Well, this will be a great opportunity. I think if you have enjoyed Topgolf in the past, you'll enjoy it here. And if you need an introduction to Topgolf, you should definitely get out to Cardinal Stadium because it will be a great way to see what they do.
What a cool venue.
Yeah,
it really sounds really cool. We ought to make all those NIMBY people, the Not In My Backyard people that are opposing Topgolf, go out there.
Yeah. They'll have fun if they do, for sure.
It's my show. I get to make editorial comments.
So,
I have a strong feeling about it. So, well, that is a very cool event. And there's much more. Where can people find out what to do, where to go?
Yeah, there's so many events all through the week. Some are free, some are charity events. There's concerts. The Spasmatics and Burning Las Vegas will be playing down at 4th Street Live Friday and Saturday night, which will be a lot of fun. So definitely check out BreedersCupFestival.com, and everything is laid out really easy to see there.
Okay, very good. And Megan, we can look for you on TVG, right?
On TVG at Santa Anita, yep. And I will be here at EquestriaCon as well. I'm one of the panelists for some of the seminars, so I'll be out and about, and you can catch me there.
All right, sounds really great. Glad to have you back in town. And great to see you, Tara.
Thank you.
And there you have it. Now you can add EquestriaCon to your vocabulary. That is part of the Breeders' Cup Festival starting October 28th right here in Louisville and leading up to the horse racing's biggest day, the Breeders' Cup. It's really kind of like better than Derby in a lot of ways. So I hope we get good weather for that. I hope we get good weather this weekend. The Bourbon and Beyond Festival. Yeah, I went out on Sunday last year. It was really hot, and so we're pulling for good weather. I'm confident. I feel good about it. So I hope we do have good weather. It's right down there at Champions Park, and there are a few other events that ever happen down there. It's a nice park. Part of the thing, I will remind you that part of the deal that Danny Wimmer presents, which is the sponsor of this festival, was that they would spend money on that park. And they're investing some $500,000 in that park. So on the weekends when they're the 49 weekends a year when they're not a big festival going on, it's a great place. It's near my house, so I ride by there all the time. Know that next year they're planning to introduce a country music festival along the same lines as Bourbon and Beyond and Louder Than Life. Louder Than Life comes up a week after Bourbon and Beyond. So a lot of good stuff going on there. Thanks to Louisville Tourism for having sponsoring the Bourbon City Guest of the Week here on the Rusty Satellite Show. It's all great. So I've got a lot of good stuff coming up. I will tell you that it's worth listening to this week's Eat, Drink, Talk. Next week's Eat, Drink, Talk, I have an interview scheduled with Augusta Holland and Stephen Tun, who are behind the Pine Room, which is the coolest new restaurant in town. I can't wait to go down there. It's down there by the river near Prospect. I'm hearing a lot of buzz about that place. So if you're looking for a new restaurant to try, you might call first. But it's supposed to be all that. I'll find out. This week on Friday, that's what's coming up. I did go to the football game on Saturday, and you know, I'm not going to rehash it because I listen to some of the sports talk radio, I listen to maybe an hour's worth, which is like 10% of what airs in this town. There's so much sports talk radio and so much talk about this football team and Bobby Petrino's. You know, they're 2-1. They're where they're supposed to be. I was pulling for Western on Saturday and was very excited. I think Western should have won that game, but they didn't. They lost 20-17. Won't be much attention paid to the Cardinals this week. They're on the road at Virginia. But then they come back in 2 weeks, and Florida State is here. And so that'll be a big event in our city. So anyway, that's going to conclude. That's all I got here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks to Passport Health Plan, Louisville Tourism, the Eye Care Institute, and Heiser Health for being a part of this show and making it happen each and every week. 272 weeks in a row now, if you can believe it. We've had a Rusty Satellite Show. So I'll be back for episode number 273, I'm pretty confident, next week. So stay tuned. Tell your friends about the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Airplanes in the buildings every time.